A Wednesday Evening Lenten Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on February 28, 1996, in the series The Experience of God, entitled Hope is Life's Turbulence. The scripture readings for the sermon are Psalm 42 and John 12, verses 27 through 32. The text for the sermon is Psalm 42, verse 5. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
The Psalms are beloved by generations of God's people. The courier that was just mailed to you, some of you may have seen, announces the fact that I've been invited to Jerusalem next month for a theological biblical seminar, a Jewish Christian seminar composed of biblical scholars and theologians from around the world, an annual event in Jerusalem sponsored by the Hartman Institute, the Shalom Hartman Institute, Rabbi David Hartman being the principal of that institute, and a theologian, a New Testament scholar, who will preach here on April 28, Christer Stendahl, a wonderful, gentle man and a great biblical scholar. He and David Hartman co-chair this event, and this is the 3,000th anniversary of Jerusalem. We just celebrated 125 years. This is the 3,000th anniversary of Jerusalem, and for that anniversary, for the conference on this anniversary year, the subject, the theme is going to be the study of the Psalms. Their praise, their lament, their cries, their protests, their adoration, their confession, the full spectrum of human experience that comes to expression in the Psalms, which was really Israel's hymn book. And so I'm looking forward to that experience in a setting of Jewish scholars with their knowledge of the Hebrew and their native instinct for that expression. And I think that I sort of wish that it had been last month so that I could have done all of Lent, which I had previously decided to do on the Psalms, but I wish I would have had the benefit of that before I had to come to you in these midweek services with my own rather faltering efforts to understand the Psalms. And yet, when one expresses and one deals with the Psalms, one doesn't really have to worry too much about one's content. Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher of a generation, a century ago, used to tell students, preachers in training, he'd say, if you pick a great text, he said, you may have a lousy sermon, but if you pick a great text and you just keep repeating the text, the people will be blessed. And so I always come to the Psalms with that kind of confidence. And Psalm 42 is one of those wonderful psalms which begins with that longing of the human heart, the human soul for God. That sense of God. It is the presence of God in God's absence. That sounds like a paradox. It is a paradox, I suppose. But one only experiences the absence of God if one has known the presence of God. And the distress of the psalmist in this situation is the fact that the presence of God that he had known in his life was now known only in the absence of God. And I think we do understand that, don't we? in order to suffer absence, one has had to be blessed with presence. One does not lose what one has not possessed. One cannot long for what one has not deeply experienced. And so the psalmist begins with that beautiful image of the deer thirsting for living streams. And he says, "So my soul longs for you, O God." The presence of God experienced in God's absence. We don't know really who wrote the psalm, where it came from, but obviously it was written by one who was in a situation of alienation and of exile, one who was at a distance from the familiar places and persons that were so intrinsic to his spiritual experience and his experience of God. And so, whether geographically distant or whether simply spiritually removed in one way or another, he was in what one has expressed as the dark night of the soul. And in the dark night of the soul, he cries out for the renewed experience of the living God. And he feels the taunts of those who mock him. And he experiences his isolation and his aloneness. And he cries to God. He prays. He sings the psalm in this beautiful poetic fashion. And in the heart of the psalm, there is the dialogue of the soul with itself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God. The 42nd psalm is a psalm which becomes the song of all of us at one time or another when we are going through those times of separation or alienation, when it seems as though we are cut off from that which has been meaningful and spiritually enlivening to us. And the beautiful thing about this psalm is that it enables us to own that experience. Walter Brueggemann's commentary on the Psalter as a whole says that we can divide the Psalms into Psalms of disorientation, or of orientation and disorientation and new orientation. Orientation, those times in life when, well, everything sort of goes along quite normally. And then disorientation, when the soul is in turbulence and everything seems shifting and uncertain. And then, of course, the surprises of grace that move one into a new orientation. And while he says you can categorize most of the Psalms quite easily into one of those categories or the other, as a matter of fact, our human experience is never static. While we might say there are periods when it might principally be described as orientation or disorientation or new orientation, as a matter of fact, most of us in the dynamic flow of life are moving from orientation to disorientation, from disorientation to new orientation. And it's not a once-for-all kind of thing. It's simply the nature of our human experience. And the beautiful thing about the Psalms, which are reflective of the Hebrew piety, is the fact that there was this honesty before the face of God. There was this straightforward owning of one's spiritual condition. There was the freedom to speak to God, and in bringing experience to language, finding the transformation of that experience. There's a healthy dose of Israel's faith that could well moderate a lot of Christian piety that tends to deny the dark side or a lot of the religious writing which delves into kind of pop psychology and enables people to pump themselves up, say it ain't so, whistle a happy tune, smiling in the darkness as though one would convince oneself that one is not really afraid or one is not really upset or the things that loom on the future are not quite as ominous as an honest appraisal might say they are. I was talking to a preacher recently who wasn't so happy always to be thought of in the profession of the clergy. He just sort of shook his head and said, sometimes I wonder why I'm a part of them. And he said, you know, religion, he said, we seem to attract the weak and the faltering and the insecure and the lame. And I had to admit that there was something to that. One time, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he was in prison, chided the church for appealing to the weakness in people, clergy who were losing out in the general explosion of the human sciences and the disciplines, who still said to people, but when it comes to the ultimate things, then we've got something for you, but almost appealing to the weakness of people. That's not the psalmist. There was a wonderful, rugged honesty about life, life which is difficult, life which is always fragile, life, human experience, which is stalked by tragedy. Human experience that defies the explanation of so much that happens. But it doesn't even have to be some dire condition. It can be those little ripples on life. The impossibility of a teenager. Well, are they anything else? Or a married child out somewhere, like I've told you before, in my naivete, I thought you had children, you raised them, they went on with their life, and you got on with yours. Wrong. You don't lose the problems, you increase them. You don't worry less, you worry more. At least when you can change their diapers, you have some sense of control. And then they go off, and you're never done. Never done. So, in the whole spectrum of our lives, are there not oftentimes when, with a psalmist, we would say, Dear God, I long for some refreshing taste of living water, your presence, when right now it seems you are so far away. And then we talk to ourselves. And that's a marvelous aspect of this psalm, that dialogue. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Well, and then at one point he tries to talk himself out of it. No, I'm not really cast down. Songs in the night and all that sort of stuff. And he comes back and he said, "But my soul is cast down." And that's the way it is, isn't it? But if the psalmist was healthy in owning his distress, he was also healthy in not finally yielding to it, for he kept talking to himself. And he called himself to remember and thus to hope. Memory. That's what we are about in this season, and that's what we are about as this table is set once again tonight. I read an article the other day, someone talking about why go to church. It was in the Christian Century, so it wasn't, I didn't expect to find a lot of pious goulash. But he said, why go to church? Because the table is set there. The table is set. A table that is full of memory. And the memory that gives us hope again. Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled." And Jesus carries on, as it were, that same kind of dialogue. What shall I say? Save me from this hour? No. For this hour came I forth. Glorify your name. And so it was in his own inner struggle and the dialogue in Jesus' soul that he found again the focus and the strength to go on. I have received an abundance of communication in these days. And yesterday, driving on the highway, reading my mail. And about at Coopersville, I wept as I read the story of one who needed in the middle of the night to arise and to write, who spoke of much success in life, and many accomplishments, and some brokenness. But years out of the church, having been raised in the church and experienced his youth in the church, and then years out of the church, and with all of the falter all around here, just in the past month, came in here and began to weep when he heard the organ play. Haven't you had the experience? I come here sometimes on Sunday morning with my hands cold, with a sense of panic, until the organ begins. And he said, the third Sunday, I actually was able to sing the words of a hymn. And I was doing fine until I put my hand on my wife's knee and she put her hand on mine. And I remember my mother taking my hand in worship. To remember and to begin to hope again. I get goosebumps when I think of it. Don't we have such a treasure in having this annual appointment to come together, no matter where our lives are taking us. To be able, honestly, before the face of God, to say, I'm thirsty, I'm longing, touch me with grace again. I come to remember, and I go forth to hope, in hope, once again. Not now somehow immune from the turbulence, but confident that there is a substructure to this human experience that is solid. And I hope in God. I shall yet praise God, my help, my God. Thank